Views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's a first. We're doing our first Bible character study on The Experience. Get ready. Barnabas is first up, and here's what I'm going to tell you. We're going to review 8 good and bad characteristics of the B-Man.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Yeah, but politics, entertainment, and current events, not so much. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can give us a call at 972-445-0770. I will tell you, we are giving away SMU basketball tickets for the men's basketball a little later on in the show. 972-445-0770. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why is that, Dave? Well, it's because it's not professional radio, ladies and gentlemen. It's just radio. Sorry. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, as we try to do pretty often, is we try to acknowledge our sponsors. And I want to start off by saying hello to Clint and to Mr. Restore.
Come save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke cleanup, wind and flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services. It doesn't matter what you're going through. They will be able to help you with free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB, MrRestore.com. There you go, MrRestore.com. We're going to try and get Clint in on an interview in the next week or two, as well as Mo from the Adaptive Training Foundation, so we can talk about their work and what they're doing on helping athletes and helping people who have 1, 2, 3, or 4 severed limbs find hope, find a drive, find a commitment. It's a fantastic ministry. It's probably, I would say it's beyond me in the sense of the training part, but to support it, I'm 100% there. Well, Mr. Restore is a big part of that. Mr. Restore supports the Adaptive Training Foundation. And if you got anything going on and you want to work with somebody that has thousands of happy customers, get in touch with the folks at Mr. Restore. The number there, 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. Couple things to tell you about today as we get going. We're going to do a kind of a new format. Not for every show, just for this show. We're going to do a little bit different because we're going to be talking about a biblical character, and we're going to be talking about the traits of that biblical character. But before we get there, first I want to say hello to Wonder Julie. I always like to say hello to Wonder Julie just to make sure she's awake because I can get long-winded. Hello. Hello. Have you noticed that I have that capacity?
I have noticed it just slightly.
Okay. All right. That's very nice and kind of you. Are you doing good?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just hanging in there with my grandson, just trying to figure out. We want good news is good news, and we've had no news, and no news is no news. Yeah. You know when people go, no news is good news?
Yeah.
Not always. So right now we're waiting on that. So just keep in prayer. You know, I did a little bit of a Greek study on the word Theos or Theos, and it's pretty fascinating because in Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, and in Mark chapter 1, verse 41, where the leper goes, "If you're willing," and Jesus says, "I am willing," which means he desires. And then you know that the Lord is for us and wants things to happen, but you also need to submit the petitions before the Lord. So we know that the Theos is his desire. He is willing, but there has to be a submission to the will and the plan of God, and that's what we stand in. And we hope that the Lord's blessing will break through and that will have an opportunity to have Easton Scott as a great testimony throughout his life. It'd be great. I mean, it'd be fantastic. Let me tell you three things on the docket for history. Do you know what the biggest history element is today? Just out of curiosity.
I do not.
The Dewey Decimal System. Remember
that? Going to the library and finding your books.
Remember that? Remember that so long ago?
Yep. Card catalogs.
Yep. You had to do it. Had to do it by a numerical system. Yep. That is one of the big holidays for today. Also, on this day in 1520, Martin Luther burned the papal edict demanding he recant. He said no. He took out a Bic. Oh, wait, they didn't have Bic back then.
Yeah, no.
But anyway, he burned it and said, nope. And then the last thing I want to say today, and I don't think anybody's going to really call and argue, and if you do, you're spending way too much time on the television. Today is Politics Are Ridiculous Day.
Yeah.
Politics Are Ridiculous Day. People are like, well, is that a holiday? It is now. Okay. I'm making up my own holidays.
Every day.
Every day. I mean, you can't even walk. I went to the gym yesterday, first time in 3 weeks, went on the elliptic glider, which is good because, you know, when I go back to the gym, going right into running is a terrible idea because then every part of my body hurts. And they had all these screens up, and I'm just gonna say, I'm not gonna say, you know, preference or not preference, I was forced to watch the local news. This is like, oh my goodness, where's the Cartoon Network? That's all I kept thinking. Must have been in the wrong spot. Well, what are you gonna do? All right, let's get into this. This is a brand new element that we're bringing in. I wanted to do this by last month, but it got put off till now. And I will tell you that we have Johnny Hill coming back on the show fairly soon, and we are going to be discussing controversial subjects. From a Baptist point of view, both a Baptist and a Pentecostal point of view, we're going to be talking about healing either later this week or early next week. I can tell you that you're going to hear two sides of the coin, not one side. And then you're going to have to make your best decision in that process to follow the Word of God as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. I'm going to be the presenter, and I'm going to lean one way, and then I'm going to lean another way, and you'll just have to figure it out. But before we get into all that, let's talk about Barnabas. I want to talk about Barnabas. He is an early Christian rock or pillar in the framework of the church. So I want to talk about him real quickly. We are introduced to him, of course, in the book of Acts. Let's talk about this. His birth name was Joseph, and he sold all of his goods and gave the money to the apostles in Jerusalem, and they gave him a new name. His name, Joseph, they gave him a new name, which is Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Or son of lifting up, or man of encouragement. And I think that's superbly important for us to get a couple of things. One, in the beginning of the church, many of the people took what they had, they sold their property, they sold what they had, and they gave it to the apostles. Let me just clarify for those that are trying to connect this with socialism and communism and governmental structures, this was a 100% volunteer, totally up to the individual decision. Nobody was forced to do anything. Barnabas took, we don't even know if it was all his property. We just know he took property and he sold it, took that money, laid it at the apostles' feet, which is a way of saying he brought it to them, laid it as an offering, and said, do with it as you guys see fit, the best that you can come up with. Awesome. It's just an awesome element. And so he laid it out there, and they called Barnabas the son of encouragement. I want to say something about that, because in Ecclesiastes 7:1, it says a good name is better than precious ointment. And in Proverbs 22:1, it says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Somebody who has a good reputation and a good name, that's pretty powerful and it's pretty cool. But this guy was given a name, and his name means man or son of encouragement. How good or how cool does this guy have to be for the apostles to give this guy a name, Son of Encouragement? That dude, that's the dude of encouragement. That's the guy of encouragement. That's the man. You need to be encouraged? Go hang out with Barnabas. You feeling down? You feeling blue? Go hang out with that guy. What a fantastic, in fact, stellar gift that Barnabas received by receiving that name. Just think of that, that the apostles gave him this name, and they consider, these are guys that are, the apostles are laying the foundation of the church, they're working it hard, the Holy Spirit's working in them, they spent this time with Jesus, Barnabas comes into the picture, and bam, they give him that title. I know that there's a couple of titles that I would get, either from the apostles, or from disciples, or from whatever the case may be. I'm not sure Son of Encouragement would be on my list in the sense that that's a really positive, powerful, uplifting name. I think mine would have a few little more cracks in it. I think it's fantastic that we're going to look at a guy that has this disposition of being an encourager. What a gift. The gift of encouraging. People that refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That's what this guy was. And I know it's hard because we are, let's be honest, we're a little bit self-centered from time to time. And if you read Philippians 2, you find out we really shouldn't be that way. We should really be focusing on other people. And this guy was the kind of person that people would go to, and in going to him, they would find encouragement and strength and uplifting, and what a reputation he had. And you have to just go, yeah, I want to be like this Barnabas guy. Now, he had some huge wins in his life that we're going to talk about. He had some huge problems. Not huge problems. Let's rephrase it. He had a big falling out with Paul. We'll talk about that in a while. But think of his scope of work. And even in that falling out that he had with Paul, I do want to point out it was all over John Mark, and Paul was really mad at John Mark, and he had a right to be, but then at the end, Paul at the very end is like going, John Mark, bring him, I need him. So maybe Barnabas's foresight saw a little further down the road. After all, it was Barnabas that reached out to Saul before he was named Paul and brought him into the deeper ministry mix. Sometimes it's a person just like that that can see past it all and see the good and lift a person up. Don't you want to be like that? Don't you want to be a person that speaks life to other people and thereby they bring life to others? What a great thing. All right, we come back. We'll look at some of the traits. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the Father and the Father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in His hand. Our King, our Shepherd, our Father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to tell you. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com, where we are accepting donations to keep the ministry going. You don't think $10 or $15 or $20 helps? You're wrong. Makes a big difference for us. It helps us. We have a decent radio bill. Just to let you know, I'm making minus $3,000 a month. is that how you're supposed to do business? I'm making minus $3,000 a month. That seems like a lot. I don't know. What do you think? Think I'm losing my mind? Wait till about a month from now.
Wonder Julie's gonna go, Dave, you there, Dave?
So we encourage people to participate in that. We thank you for all that people have done thus far, and we're just trying to get it moving it forward. I do want to let you know we're live on Facebook even right now, because we're trying some experimental things. You never know what works. And then YouTube, David Spoon Media, that has a few interesting elements in it. We're going to talk about Barnabas in a second, but I do want to talk about the opportunity to get some tickets for SMU. Now, for those that don't know, I'm going to go on a limb here. SMU, Southern Methodist University. And we're talking about the Mustangs, men's basketball. Now, we're going to do this in advance. One of the things that we ran into is that because the tickets were tighter, Tiffany, in her wisdom, did think, hey, let's give these tickets a little earlier, and that way those tickets can get mailed to people, and we don't have to have, furiously try and get people to come by and pick them up. It's just a little tough. So here's what we're going to do. This is for two tickets and a parking pass. Now, watch this. For December 23rd, for those that don't know what December 23rd is, that is 2 weeks from yesterday or 13 days from now. So it's like 2 weeks ahead of time. It's December 23rd. We've got some tickets. It's two tickets and a parking pass, and they're playing Georgia State. Ooh. So this is men's basketball. You got to be able to answer the trivia question. We're going to ask you if you've won recently, especially in tickets. If you've won tickets, let somebody else try and get it. We're going to just do it the whole show. I don't know how many people are going to be able to work this out or not, but you do have to answer a trivia question, and this one is a little harder. Did you hear me? This one is a little harder. Okay, here we go. Who recognized Jesus as the Messiah as he was presented at the temple in his infancy? There was a woman and there was a man. We're looking for the man. Who was the gentleman, the prophetic gentleman, I guess, who spoke over Jesus? Oh, yep, he's a prophet. Who spoke over him. Who recognized Jesus as the Messiah in Jesus' youth, as he was being presented in the temple in his dedication in his infancy. I know it's a word. I'm going medium words. I don't know. Infancy, right?
Not the way you say it.
Good line right there. That's funny. All right. So anyway, that is the question. Who recognized Jesus? Do not Google it. That's not cool. 972-445-0770. for two tickets to the SMU game. It's going to be 2 weeks from yesterday. Two tickets and a parking pass against, I think it's Georgia State. That's some pretty serious stuff. Let me double checking, just making sure. Yep, Georgia State, if you know the answer. Who? So all I can tell you is that this is in the Gospel of Luke. There's your big hint. Give you a chance to look it up. Let's go into this Barnabas element. I want to talk about this fascinating material. I do want to point out a couple things about Barnabas, just so you can know. In Acts 14:14, he is listed ahead of Paul, and both of them are described as apostles. When people go, there were only 12 apostles. Well, not according to Scripture. Actually, there's 17. But that's besides the point. We'll deal with that another time. He was called a good man, of course, by Luke. His aunt was the mother of John, surnamed Mark. Mark and Barnabas were related. John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, some cool stuff. He came out of Cyprus, for those that don't know, and he hung out with Paul. He went and searched out Paul when he was given a pretty big task and brought Paul, when he was known as Saul, into the fold and into the ministry. Actually, he's the one that introduced him to the apostles, because Saul's reputation was kind of bad. Let's start off with the coolest thing you're going to hear. I wish I could do this one thing. Just this one thing right here. Acts chapter 4, verse 35. People sold their belongings and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. He sold what he had. He gave it to the church, right? Now, I want you to catch this difference. I'm using Matthew as an example. Matthew followed Jesus, right? I mean, Matthew was called. Jesus called him up, said, hey, follow me, right? Barnabas followed Jesus' work. Do you get that difference? It's a very important difference. Matthew followed Jesus. Barnabas came into the picture after, and he followed Jesus' work. And he gave everything to be a part of the work and connected to the work. And he wanted to be make a difference, and he was an encourager, and he was a person that strengthened people. I mean, this is a guy that said, I'm going to sell this, give it to the church, and let's make it happen. And in Acts chapter 9, so watch this, another cool point. Acts chapter 9, it says this, verse 26, he came to Jerusalem, tried to join the disciples. They were all afraid of him, talking about Saul, not believing he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. So the next thing you get to see about Barnabas, he wasn't just a guy who sold everything, gave it to the church, and followed the work of Jesus. He was also fearless. He was a risk taker. Get this. And he was a lover of the outcast. He went and sought Paul out. When people were afraid of Paul, he made the peace connection. Think about that. He put himself on the line. He put his reputation on the line. He was willing to risk to advance the kingdom of God. Yes, he was led by the Holy Spirit, but keep in mind, he had to take a risk, and Paul was considered dangerous material. Before Paul's name was changed, it was Saul, and he was considered dangerous. But what did Barnabas do? He took the risk. He met with him. He ministered with him. And then when the disciples in Jerusalem were afraid to connect with Saul, it was Barnabas who went up and defended him. Took a guy that was an outcast and brought him in. Took a guy that was feared and made him known. And then it says in verse 27, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and told how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord. Barnabas heard the testimony of Jesus Christ in the life of Saul, and he was able to communicate that testimony. Barnabas knew the testimony good enough to share it with the apostles. Cared enough about Paul to know what happened to him. What happened to you, dude? What, you were going to Damascus? You were going to put people in that were a part of the way. You were going to put them in jail. You were going to come against the people of the way. And now you're preaching on behalf of Christ. What happened? You know that once he shared it, once they connected, that Barnabas was in on it and was like saying, "Yep, we're gonna tell people about this. A great testimony." And I, you know, when you think about that, that's a great element. When you hear somebody else's testimony and it blesses you and it moves you, you should introduce that person to people. That's cool. Other people are blessed by the testimony and the things that God does. Well, that's one of the things that Barnabas was all about. He would get the outcast, he'd bring him in, he'd share what their testimony is, and he'd say, "Stand by this guy." And you think, wow. You never really hear that. You don't hear a lot about this, but this is an act of faith. I think it's courageous. I think the testimony of Saul moved Barnabas, and he's defending him to the apostles, right? That's a lot of bravery. It's a lot of commitment to the process. And if you think about him, he's taking a risk on people. So here's what I'm going to challenge you in. Take a risk on somebody maybe you don't even know in the depth that, like, you know yourself. Let me rephrase that. Take a risk on bringing somebody in who's out. Take a risk on reaching out to somebody who's on the fringe around the corner. That could be that person has the greatest testimony you've ever heard. Isn't that cool? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Tyler in Dallas. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited about this one.
Yeah. Okay. Now this is a big one, right? This is a big big question. And did you know right away? Did you do a little study on it? What'd you do? Did you like think I know it, but I don't know it, or did you just instantly know?
Yeah. So I had to flip to Luke. In all honesty, but this story has always stuck out to me. You want me to answer it real quick?
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. So it's Simeon.
That right? is correct. That is correct.
One of the coolest things, I'll be quick. One of the coolest things I love about this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, nobody told Simeon, right? It was something that you know, it was the Holy Spirit in him.
Correct.
It's very clear. It states that, right?
That is 100% correct.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody told him. Oh, the Lord told him, "You're going to see the Messiah before you die." He sees him, and then it's like, there he is. Like, and he saw him as a baby.
You know, how many of us are looking for the second coming?
Yeah. Oh, great point. Excellent point right there, right? Excellent point.
Such a neat story.
Yeah, excellent. Great job, my brother. Excellent. All right, here's what I need you to do. I need you to hang on to the phone because Julie's going to grab your info. We're going to get you these tickets, get you the parking pass, give you the chance to go. If you end up where you're not, for some reason you can't go, you can give them to somebody. I think they're transferable, right? So it's not really that big a deal. But bless somebody or let it be a blessing for you, and I appreciate you calling in, and good job.
Thanks, David. You're a blessing to us. Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you, sir. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back more with Barnabas when we return.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men." Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know you can reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Also, davidspoonmedia.com is our website. Facebook, David Spoon Media. We're live right now. I don't know how that's going. And then YouTube, David Spoon Media. All really good. Super excited from our last caller. It's just cool. Let me just tell you, there's parts of this stuff that I do. It's so awesome for me. I get to spend about an hour plus in prayer, about 2 hours in study. I come in, I bring this stuff to the studio, and this is material that I've written before, but it's almost like the Lord is allowing me to bring some of the old and some of the new and talk about it, and then you get to share about the Word, and then you get to talk to people and encourage one another and give some gifts away. It's like, that is just the coolest thing. I actually have the coolest position ever. Really. I mean, I just love it. I love the opportunity to do it. And it's passionately great. Every time I, you know, we talk about my wife and I, well, what about this and what about this? It's like, yeah, but I love it. That's my argument. My argument is, yeah, but I love it. So I don't know. I mean, she's very patient, very kind, and very loving, very supportive. And I just really appreciate that she stands by me and all this stuff. Okay, we've been talking about Barnabas, and I want to make sure people know what's going on. So Barnabas, and we're going to find this out in just a second. Anyway, his original name was Joseph, and the apostles renamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement or man of encouragement. And I'm telling you, when you get a name, when you get a reputation going, and the apostles are giving you the name dude of encouragement. Now, I know it's not dude, but I'm trying to give you this idea. This is like son, man. It's like, oh, well, here's a good way to think of it. Mr. Encouragement. You know how we have Mr. Restore? Mr. Encouragement. That's what Barnabas was. He was so influential, so powerful that people were just, they're blessed by him. He sells everything he has, one of the things we discussed, and he followed after the work of Jesus, wanted to be involved. He was fearless. He was a risk taker. He loved the outcast. He goes after Paul when Paul's got this, his name Saul, and he's got kind of a sour reputation, right? It's like, it's so cool. All right, here we go. Next segment. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. All right, so there was a big move taking place in the Holy Spirit of people getting saved. Totally awesome. And people are like, well, you know, is this a move from the Lord? Is this a move from the Lord? Because we've had a lot of different church moves. And you'll always know a genuine move from God simply based on the reality check. Are people making decisions for Christ? That is your first, and for all the things you tell me about, all the things you can say, a true move of God always accompanies growth in the kingdom, period. Historical fact, church historical fact. It's not that God doesn't do things to the church. There's purifying periods. There's all these different elements. But when you have a move that's taking, it's from the Holy Spirit, and there's growth taking place in the kingdom, you know it's a move from the Lord. And so there's this great growth that's taking place. The church in Jerusalem are hearing about the things that are going on at Antioch. Very exciting. They're very like, wow, these guys are hearing the gospel, getting saved. This is awesome. And they have to check it out and make sure that it's not nutty cuckoo and make sure that it's in line, right? Who do they go to? News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. You want to know what that means about Barnabas? Number one, he sold out and gave to the church. He wanted to follow the work of Jesus. He didn't follow Jesus directly. He followed the work of Jesus, which is it's a little different. It's like that second generation, blessed are those who do not see but believe, Jesus said. He was a risk taker, and he loved outcasts, and that's why he brought Paul in. Totally awesome. And then the apostles used Barnabas as their go-to guy. That's a reputation you want to have. Oh, we got this move taking place, and the Spirit is moving and is powerful, and we need to make sure everything is cool and check it out. Who should we send? Let's send Barnabas. He's the guy. Like, yeah. That's what I'm trying to instill in all of us, myself included, is that this guy, he was the real deal. I mean, they counted on him. He was a go-to guy. And it's always good to have a go-to guy. I have a couple of go-to guys in my prayer life. So Rob Laffler, one of my best friends, he's a go-to guy during prayer. If I got something going on. Of late, since I've been to Texas, Aunt Deb has become a go-to guy, so to speak. Oh, yeah, she's a gal. Give me a break. Stop the whole gender thing. I don't want to hear it. Okay? Here's the bottom line. The bottom line, there's go-to people in your life. Well, Barnabas was one of those. Reliable. I mean, you can count on him. Bible says that faithfulness, confidence in an unfaithful person is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. A broken tooth is very uncomfortable. A foot out of joint is really hard to walk on. Unfaithful person is like that. But the opposite of that is somebody that's reliable, somebody you can go to. You should have go-to people for prayer. You should have go-to people for counsel. You should have go-to people for comfort. Now, this does not exclude God. That's just silly. But when you need to talk to a human, you need to have a go-to. Hey, you know what? That's the kind of person Barnabas was. Additionally, Acts chapter 11, verse 30 says, this they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul are bringing the gifts. What do you know about somebody who's taking money, gifts? You know that they are, ready, trustworthy. There's another element in Barnabas' life. He's a go-to guy. He's a risk taker. He's not perfect. You're going to find that out. But he's trustworthy. They can count on this guy. Hey, we're going to give you this, you know, 100,000, you know, drachmas or whatever they're giving. You know, maybe there was that fish, wine, whatever. All the stuff. And they're just like, dude, oversee this. Be a steward. And I will say this, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. And let me say something that's important. If somebody commits to you an element of trust, be it their word or their possessions or whatever the case may be, for you to oversee or whatever the case may be trustworthy. Be worthy of that. You know what trustworthy is? Worthy of that trust. So we're renting a house, and my landlord, his Nathan, Keith Zander out of Escondido, it's his father-in-law and so on and so forth. So we're in our third year, and you know what? They want us to stay in the House. We think we're going to end up doing it, but I think that's a blessing to know that the people that we've got, they're not raising or doing nothing. We're going in our third year. They want us there. We're trying to be trustworthy. We try to treat the House like it's our own, except for the grass. I told them about that. We could have a problem coming up in this next year with the grass. I'm just being honest. All right, Acts chapter 13, at a church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Niger, Lucia, and Manon. And also another thing that we know about Barnabas is that he was a teacher. He was a prophetic. He was a teacher. He was, he's pretty gifted. But all these are characteristics of a person who loves the Lord. And he's. I just go back to this son of encouragement thing. It's the coolest thing ever. This dude, he encourages people. He's the kind of guy you wanted to hang around. You don't want to be, I got to say this carefully. You don't want to be Eeyore. Okay. You don't want to be the Christian Eeyore. Okay. It's my birthday. I mean, you know what? Come on, people. You're going to be dancing on streets of gold. It's got to be better than that. Has to be. So Barnabas is an example. He's an example of selling out and going for the work. He's an example of loving outcasts. He's an example of the go-to guy. He's an example of being worthy of trust or trustworthy. He's a teacher. He's a prophet. He's all those things. But there's something, and most of you know about this, there's something that comes up between him and Paul. About the time that things are rock and rolling, right at the conversion of Sergius Paulus, which is Acts 13, 9, and 10, I think. Yeah, it's 13, 9, and 10 as I'm looking at the document. Paul begins to take prominence over Barnabas, and so this is where his name is changed from Saul to Paul. And so we're no longer going Barnabas and Saul. Now it's Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Paul. And Paul is creeping up. And Barnabas, he's not like, I'm jealous. But they do have a strong disagreement that's going to come over John Mark that we're going to talk about on the return element. But here's what I want to say about this. You got a guy that's doing great, really committed to the kingdom, really does fantastic. Does that mean he's perfect? No. Does it mean that Paul was perfect? No. Does it mean that the apostle? I have been having a chance to talk to Johnny Hill about this, that there's certain teachers and certain preachers that are like, you know, it's got to be perfect this and perfect. Dude, you will never be perfect. If you're not perfect by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, you have no hope. That's it. You will do as good as you can do. And we talked about this. We were honest about it. Look, David, he is a great guy, but he also committed murder and adultery, and quite frankly, it was an assassination. It was terrible. And Paul is a great guy, but he also committed murder. There's a lot of yuck in us. That's what redemption is about. Not that we are, and it is better said, we're Christians. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven. And without that forgiveness, we are nowhere. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water,
every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off, Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that, and it was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just to let you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
it was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
Just, yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
On Christ the solid rock.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You want any of the music that we've got on the show, livinginhisgrip.com. Actually comes from my sister-in-law and my sister-in-law's husband. I don't know what the relationship, how that works, but it's Glenn and September, and they're great people. They've been supporting us and loving on us and praying for us, and just appreciate the grace that they've shown us. So you're welcome to get it there. Don't forget davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and the website davidspoonmedia. We have some trivia. Won't any more? No more trivia today. So I guess some people are going to go click. I love you anyway. But we'll have some trivia tomorrow and then again on Thursday and Friday. We've been talking about Barnabas and also understanding that he is known as the Son of Encouragement, a second name given to him given by the apostles because his name was Joseph. And we get this information. You get the information about him from the book of Acts. And you go through and you get to see he's quite the stellar dude. Yeah, I know you're not supposed to say stuff like that. He sold everything, or he sold what he had, property they had, and gave it to the church. He followed after the work of Jesus. He was fearless. He was a risk taker. He loved the outcast. He was a go-to guy. He was trustworthy. He was a prophet. He was a teacher. He was even, in many ways, he was very bold as well. Then you have this two incidents that take place that give you some definition that we're all human, right? Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. So they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. As you read this about Barnabas, you get the impression, and I think it's warranted, just so you can know, that in the church life and in where the Holy Spirit was defining things, and as the church was communicated from a historical point of view while the Holy Spirit's leading Luke to write this, the path followed Paul. I don't think you can't really argue that point. It doesn't follow Barnabas in any direct element. In fact, that's pretty much the majority of what you hear from him right there. Now, there's two really important elements. They had a sharp disagreement. Does that mean that Barnabas and Paul didn't like each other? No. It just means that they weren't going to go down the path together because Barnabas, true to his character, wanted to bring John Mark. And Paul was like, you know, he was with us and he kind of bailed on us and I don't want to bring him. And there's Barnabas going, well, you know, you got to give him another chance. And, you know, it's Barnabas fighting for the outcast, much like he did for Paul. I mean, you know, it's that same spirit. It's the same spirit he's had throughout everything that they've defined him through biblically at this point. And he's like, he didn't want to bail on him. And yeah, they were relatives or made a bit of a play in there. And maybe it made an impact on his thinking process. But keep in mind that this same John Mark that Barnabas didn't want to bail on is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. And at the end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy, he asks to see Mark and says that Mark is very helpful for him in ministry. For those that are thinking, well, are you sure that's the same one? It's the same guy. I'm telling you right now, you do 9,000 studies, you're going to come to the same conclusion. 8,995 of them say same guy. Okay, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that Barnabas was kind of holding out, and it's possible that his holding out was really influential on John Mark, and maybe that's what helped him write a gospel. I don't know. I can't. That's all speculation. That's not scripture. Here's what I know. Paul and Barnabas had a sharp disagreement. They parted companies. If two don't agree, the Bible says, how can they walk together? But it doesn't mean they hated each other. It doesn't mean they were against each other. They just saw different paths. I just wish we could do that. There was a sharp disagreement, so it was pretty intense, I'm sure, because they were pretty close, but they went different directions. And many commentators will say, see, now God sent his proclamations in two different directions. Probably true. But the bottom line is they had to go in different paths because God had different things for them. If the Lord wanted them to stay together, they'd have been together. Keep in mind who's really in charge. This is not history. This is his story. And he knows what he's doing. There's one other element that Barnabas was involved with. And I do want to say, so to some degree, one of his characteristics, Barnabas, is he was stubborn. I guess I didn't want to say it. Maybe stubborn, devoted to a fault. You know, you can be devoted to a fault. People that love me sometimes are devoted to a fault. And sometimes they're stubborn and being committed to me. And that's cool. But stubborn is not unusual for many of us. Many of us are stubborn. Pretty normal for a Christian. We're making a decision to follow Jesus Christ. There's a element of stubbornness in that right there. Galatians chapter 2 also brings up something which I think is important, and I think this is a good way to end this study on Barnabas, and then I'll kind of do the fast rehash. It says this in Galatians 2:12, before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined in him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When Paul's writing that to the Galatians, in the letter to the Galatians, it's almost like he's surprised. This was a pretty in-depth element where Paul was very upset with how Peter was doing a different element. And I apologize. So he was mad at Peter because Peter was doing a different element. But Barnabas was caught up in this whole thing. In verse 14, when I saw that you were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you're a Jew. You live like a Gentile, not a Jew. How is it you force the Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? So he was mad at Peter. But Paul also noted that Barnabas got caught up in the moment. And what I wanted to say about that is he got caught off guard by people pressure. And I know you think that's silly, but it's not. It happens often. Christians maintain a really good walk and a really good position, but if they're not continually alert, something that Johnny brought up the other day, they get caught off guard in the moment by pressure, even with those around them, even if those people around them are godly. There might be a mistake being made, and you got to be aware. You cannot let down your game. You always have to be aware. You always have to remain alert. There's no part in Scripture and Christianity ever where it says, you know, don't be alert. You can stop being alert when the trumpet blows and you're with Jesus, but not until. So he was caught off guard by the people pressure of the moment. He followed Peter. When the people from James came over, Peter and Barnabas and a group of them kind of changed how they were acting towards the Gentiles. And Paul was like, that's not right. We're supposed to be one. That was the whole point. And so in these two instances, you see Barnabas having some fault. He's caught off guard by people pressure. He's devoted to a fault and maybe a bit stubborn. But he was also a prophet, a teacher. He was also trustworthy. He was also a go-to guy. He was a risk taker. He was fearless. He loved the outcast. And he gave it all for the church and for the mission. This guy's great. You want to know why this guy's great? Because it's real. He's not perfect. He's a brother in the Lord, loves the Lord, passionate about the kingdom, doing his best, made some mistakes, probably blew it more in the Galatians 2 part than even in the Acts chapter 15, or the later part of the 15, because the Acts 15 part is kind of subject to, you know, well, this is the Lord wants this plan and this plan, where, you know, Galatians 2, it's a blatant sin and hypocrisy. Here's the bottom line. He's still a great guy, great kingdom builder. You're going to hear me say something that's going to really eradicate so many people. Their ears are going to fall off their heads. They're going to throw things at me. But when somebody spends their life doing something for the kingdom of God and then they make a mistake, it's a tragedy. But it does not negate everything that that person does. Certainly not in the economy of God, who says God remembers the work that you have shown to the saints. In the world, it's immediate dismissal, unless the person's worldly, and then it's immediate forgiveness. In the kingdom of God, the Lord never forgets what people have done for the saints and how he's loved them. It's never forgotten. So if a person does 100 items and 98 are excellent and 2 are bad, God didn't forget the 98, but people do. Keep that in mind when you're dealing with people. Most of the time, they're not trying to do something bad. They may make a mistake. And that's what forgiveness and grace and mercy are supposed to be about. Barnabas, I think, totally cool, awesome dude. I'd love to be known as the son of encouragement, Mr. Encouragement. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.